And welcome to your economic forum entitled Money Matters. I'm your host, Mark Cuniberti. Before we begin, remember, discussions in this show should not be considered specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I'm an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investing involves risk. Depending on the types of investments, there may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal. And the views expressed today are my opinions only, or the opinions of the people that may call in, or the authors of any articles I may read. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, the station, its staff members, or underwriters. Welcome to the 284th edition, entitled Our Corporation's People. It's going to be a hot show. I want everybody to call in today. 530-265-9555. We'll talk about it. 530-265-9555. Money Matters is about money. Is money is matter, and matters of money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little bit, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, in some way or another, controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your love, your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about your lives and livelihood. In short, it's about you. Coffee? Yes. Thank you. Had some. Okay, so before we begin, we got to cover the markets, right? The markets, well, Dow. Let's talk about what the Fed said yesterday. It was watching the Fed. You know, I have said before, sometimes we doubt that the market really reflects the economy anymore. It just basically reflects what the people that control trillions of dollars worth of printed money say and do. And the Feds came out and did not raise rates. Market usually likes that. Then they have a plot graph. A plot graph basically has the active members of the Federal Reserve Board put a dot on a graph on where they think interest rates will be in the future. And the dot graph shows that a very little chance of a rate increase for the rest of the year. So they're trying to get rates up, but, you know, their speak, what they said while they announced no rate increase is what people really look at. And they'll look at, like, if they took a word out, like, cautious or exuberant or any forward-looking statement. Boy, they can take one word out and just the market just jerks around crazy, depending on it. But anyway, Fed words came out yesterday, and I sent a message to my guy in the office. I said, Fed speak is positive. The market's going to scream. And it ended up down yesterday. But today, it's up 230. Dow, 230. Sitting at 25,976. NASDAQ, 78.37. S&P 500, 28.54. So what's that mean? Well, we've always talked about these large numbers, right? We always talk about resistance and support levels. Remember, nobody can forecast market direction at any time, anyone, anyhow. We'll preface that with that. So the Dow's at 25,976. All-time high is around 26,900 something. 16, if I remember. 916, somewhere in there. So we're pushing 26,000. That's a large number, right? We're at 25,976, 24 points off 26,000. So 26,000 is a large number. And it is regarded by some analysts right here as resistance. Can it push through 26,000? 25,000 below us, since we're at 25,976, 25,000 below us is regarded by some analysts as a major support level. So when it breaks through one of these big numbers, that can be an indication to analysts that, you know, it will continue its run. But we don't know. You know, you don't know. You don't know. Theory is theory, right? It's not like math where 2 and 2 is 4. Economic theory is a study of sociology. It's a study of what people do, because the market is only the sum of all the people in it believing what they do at any particular moment. It will reflect reality eventually, in my opinion, but its day-to-day movements are only the sum of all the players in it at that time, what everybody thinks. So we can see oversold positions, oversold markets, overbought markets. We can see panic. We can see exuberance. Jerks all the way around. That's why you get a degree in economics. You get a sociology degree. It's economics, but it's not a BS. It's not a Bachelor of Science. They don't regard economics as a science. They regard it as an art, right? An art form. It kind of is an art form, right? So we'll keep looking at the Dow and let you know what's happening. There are resistance levels and support levels all over the place that different analysts look like. So 25,000 and 26,000 is not necessarily support and resistance. There are a lot of little ones, too. And so, you know, it's all over the board. So these are usually called chartists. You know, they look at patterns and things of this sort. They look at what they did historically, and then they kind of draw the conclusion up front, okay? So today's show, you know, last month's show or a couple of weeks ago, it was called Is It Over? March 7th, the market rally stalls. And we were talking about interest rates and things like that, and we got on to corporations. And we took a call from a gentleman. And at that moment, we were talking about our corporations, people. And at that moment, I realized what a great topic for a show. You know, one of the hottest shows that we had, we got negative and positive on it, was the fast food place and locally here that had a sign out that was paying $11.25 an hour and they're looking for work. And the sign had been up for a long time. And so I posted on social media, well, why are they looking for work? Everybody's saying there's no jobs. And then, social media exploded on that posting. Usually I don't post anything political because, you know, I'm neither a Democrat or Republican. I'm kind of in the middle, you know, some things I see. You know, there's every administration I support some things and don't support some things. Because I'm an economic guy, you know, and I don't really watch Fox News and all that stuff. It's too depressing. You know, everybody's fighting and, you know, occasionally I get a hair up my 6 o'clock and I'll throw something out there on social media that's political and man, get my crash helmet on. So I kind of learned not to do that. But I did post this thing about fast food place looking for a job at 11:25 and the comments went, I don't know, 500-600 comments, you know, a lot of comments. Some people saying, you know, you're right. There should be, nobody should be complaining about having a job because there's jobs out there. And other people said you should not be able to work for that because it's not a living wage. And it went on and on and on and on and on. So that was pretty hot. So today, if corporations are people, I expect, you know, it's going to be an interesting show. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I started off the show and a guy said, you said corporations are people. And I said, no, they're made up of people. I listened back to the show and I did say corporations are people. So I apologize. What I meant to say is that corporations are made up of people. So the phone lines are open, 530-265-9555, 530-265-9555, 530-265-9555. And so what I was talking about 2 weeks ago is that, you know, you always hear corporations aren't people, we should abolish corporations or make them pay more taxes or whatever, whatever have you. And so we started off 2 weeks back saying that, you know, I came out and I said, well, I own a corporation. Is that necessarily bad? And a lot of companies right around here locally are corporations. There's an LLC, limited liability company, and there's S corporations and C corporations, and there's sole proprietorships. So my jest on it 2 weeks back is that corporations are made up of people. Okay, a corporation is basically a tax structure. And so corporations, no, they aren't people, but they are made up of people. And corporations employ a lot of people. You know, there's an old saying, I never got a job from a poor person. And so corporations are people in its essence that they're made up of people. And if you take the people out of the corporation, you have nothing. You have a building and a bunch of paper on their corporate laws and everything else. But corporations are tax structures. So the conversations went something like this. Corporations get away with all this stuff and they don't pay their fair share of taxes and the officers hide behind the corporations. So my rebuttal of that is that, first of all, corporations take advantage of the IRS rules. And that's what they do. That's what they're supposed to do. A corporation is supposed to make profit for the shareholders. That's what they do. In a capitalistic society, that's what they do. Now, they take advantage of the IRS tax structure for corporations, whether it's an S or a C, and they take advantage of what's legal. Okay, so there's a premise here. What's legal and what's not legal? Well, you know, I will say that the corporate tax returns are now so complicated. Sometimes it takes regulators months to find out what it really means. You know, digging into one of these things is far beyond my knowledge. Some of these corporations are dummy corporations, hiding this, hiding that. And they're very difficult to read, and they even fool the regulators. You know, look at Enron and some of the other corporations that had problems. So, you know, I am not for abolishing corporations because it's a tax structure. And where I got on, people say, well, they you know, a lot of these corporate officers get away with stuff. Well, that's that is a failure of enforcement. You know, I do believe that corporations are nothing, but they're run by the people that run them. And if they commit malfeasance or an illegal act, they should be brought to justice. But the problem is they aren't. You know, the corporations can pay for I&O insurance, errors and emissions insurance, E&O insurance, errors and emissions insurance, and they can defend the CEO and the rest with their vast amounts of money. And maybe that's what people are you know, complaining about. The larger corporation, not somebody like my little corporation or a corporation down the street from XYZ Plumbing. No, we're talking about very large corporations that have a lot of money, and they will fight tooth and nail anything that they're accused of. Whether they are guilty or not, they're probably going to fight. And so corporations use their war chest to fight and keep their CEOs out of prison. Do I think that's right? I think if it's legal that they use their money to fight whatever they're accused of, that's legal because it's legal. I think if corporate executives are not held accountable for what they do, then absolutely they should be brought to justice. And I think that many of them are not. You know, I agree there. Many of them are not. Now, do we not like, you know, I see there's talk about, I think it was Amazon didn't pay any taxes or something. Some big corporation didn't pay any taxes. Well, is that wrong? Well, we don't change the corporation for taking advantage of the tax structure. We change the tax structure. You know, if we don't like the laws, the IRS book of, you know, of tax is 40,000 pages long. It's just way too convoluted for my, you know, my opinion. And you get an army of lawyers and, you know, billions of dollars, they're gonna find all sorts of loopholes. So I do agree that when CEOs or VPs do something wrong, then they should be held accountable. And I am in total agreement that a lot of times they are not. So corporations aren't people. They're a tax structure, but they employ many, 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 many people. And so to say, well, we want to abolish corporations, I don't think really anybody really believes that, because then this, you just go into a different tax structure. Remember, it's just a tax structure. That's all it is. A corporation is not a living, breathing thing. It's just, it employs people. The board is employed. They're usually paid, and they hire the CEO, and they hire the vice president and the you know, chief financial officer. They hire all these people and they make the decisions, but they're hiding under a tax structure. That's really, you know, the structure of how the company is put together and how it's protected. So we have to think that if we don't like what a corporation is doing, well, there's two things we can do. If it's doing something illegal, I believe you should go right after the people that are doing it, running it. And will the corporations use their war chest to defend their CEOs and their VPs? Probably. Probably. Because remember, the corporation is run by the board, and the board sits, you know, hand in hand with all their buddies. And so that part, but how do you change that? You know, nonprofits have a board of directors, and the Little League has a board of directors, and there's board of directors all over the place. And if they're all kind of friends with each other, what are you going to do? You know, I've always thought about that. You know, I got in a tussle here and there with the Little Leagues here and there, and you know, you really can't do anything because they're all buddies together, and you know what the board says goes. And so it's a difficult situation, but it is a failure of enforcement of the people that run the corporation is where I think the problem is, because the corporation is just, like I say, a tax structure. You could eliminate corporations and go to a different tax structure or make up another one. But, you know, corporate tax structures are structured to give incentive to get larger and to employ people. That's what they do. You know, corporations in America employ the most people in America. And so small corporations and large corporations, and they have different tax structures than individuals. So, you know, we have to be careful there when we say carte blanche, we have to destroy this or destroy that. So corporations aren't people. No. And to say they are, you must be barking up the tree that they employ a lot of people, and that they do. And they're run by a lot of people, and they have tremendous power. Now, what they also do, which I do not agree with, is they lobby. I just think that's a terrible system. You know, they hire lobbyists, you know, hitmen, basically, not in the sense of mortality, but hitmen in the sense of going after our elected officials to persuade them to vote one way or another. And that I don't agree with. You know, I really don't agree with. You know, is there incentive for the United States to make sure its corporation survives, like we saw in a crisis? You know, they may have helped General Motors, and they may have helped other corporations. You know, I'm kind of a purist, and I believe in creative destruction of capitalism. And creative destruction says that if a large car company gets into trouble, whether it's an economic crisis or not, and they can't get themselves out, then down they go. And the creative destruction part of that, the destruction part of the term creative destruction, means that the car company is destroyed. The creative part of it is that its assets are usually sold off a lot cheaper than what they might be valued at. And people that come in and say, okay, they made a mistake, learn a lesson. That's the first thing about the destruction part, is somebody learns a lesson. And then new people come in and say, okay, we don't want to do that wrong. That's what they did wrong. Or maybe they didn't have enough cash. And I'm not specifically singling out General Motors. You know, I'm not saying that General Motors had enough cash or didn't have enough cash or whatever. I'm just saying that if a large car company or a large washing machine company or a large food company, you know, gets itself into trouble and can't extricate itself, you know, the government funds should not be used to extricate it. I don't care who it is. Because up until that point, all the profits went to private people, the shareholders. So, you know, why should we rescue shareholders with public funds? A shareholder means you put your hard-earned money and you put it into a company because you believe the company would survive. And if it didn't survive, you lose. And that's the way of it. You know, why should I rake in, you know, thousands, millions, billions, trillions of dollars of the profit distributed to all the shareholders, and then we get into trouble because maybe we took too much profit out and paid ourselves? Why should we then depend on the government to bail it out? It's kind of interesting, you know. I would imagine that some of the same people that said, I hate corporations, were for bailing out General Motors because of the employees. And, you know, who's to say that if a particular car company went broke, that a new car company would come in, because there'd be a gap in the market, you know, these cars. A new car company would come in and employ more people because they'd be better, right? If a particular car company got into trouble, obviously it's a cash problem. And if you get better management and then this car company has more cash, it's going to be able to pay higher wages and employ more people. Now, will they pay higher wages? We don't know. But there are a lot of corporations out there that do pay very healthy wages, and they, you know, they give profit kickbacks to the employees. So there's some very well-run corporations, and there's some that are sleazy. And, you know, it's hard to identify who's who because of the tax structure, these 40,000 pages. And, you know, I can tell you, big corporations, they have armies. I mean, literally armies. Entire departments composed of attorneys and accountants and accountant attorneys who got the double degree. I'm telling you what, if you want a good degree coming out of the college, get an accounting degree and a law degree. Man, you can be making some big bucks there. And so, you know, they fight tooth and nail. And, you know, the shareholders get what they get. But, you know, a corporation its edict is to make profit for the shareholders. That's its edict. The treating of employees is up to the board members and the people that run the company. And so those are the people at fault, not the tax structure of the big corporation book. And so it disturbs me when I see the, you know, corporations run people and destroy corporations. You know, I can tell you that if a particular shopping company on the web, maybe along the lines similar to, you know, those of you who buy on the web, think of a big company you may order a lot of stuff from. You know, if they paid no taxes, you know, there's one question. Did they pay no taxes legally, or were they illegal in paying no taxes? And if they'd paid no taxes, usually that's really not the case. I mean, it's a buzzword. They didn't pay any taxes, and that makes good headlines. But to really understand what they did pay, you have to dig into the financials, dig deep. And what we normally see in the news media is they grab hold on to that Amazon didn't pay any taxes. Well, I don't believe myself that Amazon didn't pay any taxes. I'm sure they paid a lot of taxes or a lot of fees, but they did it in a way that you could basically come out and say they didn't pay any taxes. Well, you know, let's take a personal example, right? Let's say this guy has sold a house at a loss, and he lost $250,000, okay? Now he's got a loss, and the IRS laws, if it applies to this person, it says that he can write off $3,000 a year in losses because it's a capital gain loss, okay? So he's got $250,000, and he can only write off $3,000 a year. Well, he's going to be dead before he writes it all off, right? Okay, so this same person who has a loss on his taxes that's carried forward every year for $3,000, all of a sudden, he goes out and he sells a piece of art, and he makes $250,000 on the art. Okay. So whatever he makes on what he sold, not employment, not income, that's earned income, but what he sold the art for, let's say he made $250,000. Well, now we can go back and take that $250,000 loss and wash it out with the capital gain that he has on the art, and he pays no taxes. Well, you could say the headline, well, Joe Blow sold a $500,000 painting. He made $250,000 and didn't pay any taxes. Well, that's true, because he went off and he went back and wrote a loss off on it. So we got to be careful when we put these one-liners out there. You know, it's more, in my opinion, it's more along the lines of propaganda. You know, propaganda says you repeat the same mantra over and over, make it simple, so people understand. And people repeat it like parrots, and you just keep saying it over and over, and you do. You see it, you know, corporations own people, tax the rich, pay your fair share. I mean, these are short sentences that are designed to attract people and to stimulate their emotions and to get them involved so they hold up their signs and say, you know, corporations own people. So there are single-person corporations, and corporations with two people in them, and corporations with 300,000 people in them. So we do have to be careful when we say, you know, corporations, what are you talking about? You talking about an S corporation? You talking about a C corporation? Right? There's two different types there. And so we have to be very careful in that. You have to be extremely very, 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 very careful. So we're talking about corporations or corporations people. The phone numbers are 530-265-9555, 530-265-5... What's the matter with me today? 530-265-9555, 530-265-9555. You can feel free to call in and tell everybody what you think. We'll be right back. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station.
Insulate my body in cream. I'm gonna light my cigarette
All right, Warrant. I thought that was an appropriate song when talking about corporations. So, yeah. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That's a corporation. And, you know, there's also been a lot of talk about socialism. And we talked a little bit about socialism last show. Kind of a buzzword. You know, I heard, again, this is not a political show. Not a political show. But I read, you know, this is something I read. I'm not in support or against this, but I read that, you know, the what's the horse party, the donkey party? Let's see, the elephant is the Republicans, so it'd be the Democrats, right? That the Democrats do have a lot of candidates that are coming up for president that have been labeled socialist or socialist leaning. I saw an ad float by. Not an ad, but an article. And I was going to print it, and I didn't print it. But it said that by leaning that far over into the possible socialistic allure, that the Democrats would lose the White House because they went too far that way. That was kind of an interesting lean. I never really thought about that, you know. If the Democrats go too far left towards socialism, could they lose? Because it's just too radical. You know, I do believe, and I mentioned on the show before, you know, we are more and more going toward that type of economic model, you know, socialism, where the government will own a lot of the private corporations, you know, the big oil companies and all that. I am against socialism. I am a firm believer that it doesn't work. But people always will debate me that on social media. The examples of Norway always pops up. And all the Nordic countries always pop up. And then people sometimes say a capitalistic, socialistic economy, kind of a blend. We have a blend now, but they want to have more of a blend. And so the call for that type of economic model, socialistic model, is put out to help people that aren't making enough money, and the money is concentrating at the top, and people can't make a living, and we need to rein in the big corporations by having it under government control.
Okay.
Right? The argument against socialism is that it destroys incentive, individual incentive, and the government really is not really good at running anything. Then there'll be the call that there are not any successful socialistic economies, but then people will bring up Norway and the rest, and there's more to that than just, you know, the degree of happiness in the country and all of that, you know. I remember somebody said Norway. Well, Norway taxes up to 45% of GDP. 45% of everything in Norway is taxed. And they have a 25% value-added tax in Norway, too. And a value-added tax, for people who don't understand what that is, okay? Value-added taxes, anytime you turn around and sell something, you pay 25% of whatever the profit was you made on the item. So if I bought an item for $500 and, you know, whatever the profit was from the guy who sold it to me, let's say it cost him $300 to make it and he sold it to me for $500. If I turn around and sell it for $750, I pay 25% of that to the feds or the government, whoever. That's value added. And then if somebody buys it from me and they turn around and they sell it and they make a profit, it's 25% again. So you could have 25% until infinity is basically what a value-added tax is. It has been proposed here in the United States. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of it at all. You know, and here's you know, I put out a tax structure that people just went ape on. You know, they just went totally ape on. But logically, you know, I think I got a foot to stand, but, you know, if I were to put this out, people would say I was totally insane. And so the tax structure is you know, the one that I'd never penned an article on it, but I want to do that. I got to be careful where I post that. But the tax structure would be, you know, if my kid works in the yard more and he gets more money, and my second kid works in the yard less and he gets less money, and so I basically take 10% tax out of each kid. So the older kid works more and he makes more money. And both of them pay 10%. Now, let's say the older kid works more, works harder, gets up earlier. He works harder. And He makes more money. And I turn to him and I say, okay, I'm going to take 25% out of yours and only 10% out of your brother's. Now, my kid basically understands that math. He'd say, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. I'm going to work more. Now you're going to penalize me for working more? And so if you take that onto a national level or a tax structure level among the constituency around us, I have heard people say, well, I don't want to work anymore. I don't want to pay any more tax. Just pay more taxes. You know, that for me is really damaging. I mean, think of that. Well, I don't want to work anymore because I don't want to pay any more taxes. And there are a lot of small companies, mine included, that say, I don't want to hire anybody because I just pay more taxes. So that particular tax structure, in my mind, incentive-based tax structure, which is a disincentive, stops me from hiring anybody. I don't want to hire anybody because I'll pay more taxes. And a lot of people say, well, I don't want to work too hard. I get Social Security, and if I work more, they're just going to take more out of Social Security. So the premise there is that if I work harder, I'll pay more. So I'm sure you've heard people say, I don't want to work anymore. I don't want to work any harder. I'll just pay more taxes. That is disincentive. So the tax structure that you know, I'll pen an article on is that the more you work, the less taxes you pay. The more you work, the less taxes you pay. And if you did that, I mean, people would scream. You'd have to put a limit on it. And those that can't work or are sick or injured or disabled, of course, you'd have to take care of them. I'm not uncompassionate or incompassionate. But the more you work, the less taxes you pay. So if you cut 100 lawns, you pay 30%. If you cut 101 lawns, you pay 29%. If you cut 40 lawns, you pay 28%. And therefore, you have incentive to work more. And I think if you did that, the country would hum. I mean, just hum, because you'd say, oh, man, all I got to do is cut one more lawn today. I'll put in extra hours, and I'll pay a little bit less in tax. It would just hum, you know. And so that's disincentive. Now, would you cap it? I don't know. You probably would have to cap it. But to provide incentive for working versus penalizing people for working, it's no wonder, you know, that we have employment problems, you know. There's an old saying that corporations... Actually, the saying is money flees to friendlier shores, okay? Money flees to friendlier shores. So if you have two countries, and one has a very onerous tax structure, and one is very forgiving, more companies, corporations, will move to the country, state, city, what have you, the entity that has lower taxes. That's kind of a no-brainer. So California, for example, you know, California is one of the highest tax states in the nation. And are companies moving out of California? I don't know. I mean, you tell me. I can tell you that, you know, there are a lot of companies that are incorporated in Delaware, you know, because there's a very favorable tax structure for corporations there. And people say, well, they shouldn't be allowed to do that. Well, then you got to change the law. I mean, you can't blame a company for taking advantage of the law. Now, if the law is unjust, it should be changed. But as long as it's legal, then it's allowed. Now, you could bend the rules and say, well, what about if killing people were legal? Well, obviously, you know, that's kind of the position that some people take, that the law is unfair. Well, they got to change the law. But even if the law is unfair, it should not be obeyed. You know, so take a look at Nazi Germany as an example. So there are going to be exceptions on that. But, you know, I'm of the belief, I don't agree with a lot of the laws. I really don't. But I follow them, you know. I'm sure there's probably a time when I might not follow a law. You know, it's a don't eat ice cream under this marquee. Well, you know, I'm sure we've all broken a law here and there. Don't go over 55 or 65 or whatever. But in general, you know, most of the tax laws and things I think are kind of onerous, but we follow them. You know, I follow them. You know, illegal is illegal and legal is legal. And so if it's legal for a corporation to fight its taxes or to reduce its taxes and it's legal, how do you blame them? Don't blame them. Blame the people that are making the laws. We're all marching around outside of XYZ nut and bolt company saying you're unfair, you're not paying taxes. Well, you should be marching around, you know, the IRS or the elected officials to say this is unfair. It's interesting They're protesting corporations, but they're not going after the laws that govern them and the people that make the laws. How come we aren't out in front of Congress saying you have bad corporate laws? Blank, blank didn't pay any taxes on $10 billion worth of earnings. Don't petition blank, blank. Go after the people who make the laws and say, hey, let's change that. Or dig deeper into the financials and find out maybe they wrote off a lot of losses, but they took advantage of the tax laws. Now, the corporation does something illegal and doesn't pay proper taxes, then I believe whoever made that decision should go to jail. It's as simple as that. Corporation didn't make that decision. Maybe the board of directors is, but the board of directors is not the corporation. The board of directors steers the corporation. But again, the corporation is just a tax structure. It's an inanimate object. So corporations are made up of people, but corporations are not people. Are they treated as individual people in the tax code? Maybe. Maybe there's some similarities that they may be treated. I'm sure that an individual tax regulations versus a corporate tax regulations are much different. So they're not treated as individuals entirely. There's some similarities there, maybe. But that's the law. And if we don't like the law, change the law. You can't blame XYZ Nut and Bolt Company for following the letter of the law. And if he didn't follow the letter of the law, then go after him. Go after the people who made that decision. And put him in jail. And if you put a few of these guys in jail, you know, hard time, you know, you didn't pay taxes and you made a mistake, fine the you-know-what out of them. You know, they fine them, you know, a investment brokerage firm, you know, big investment brokerage firm, maybe one you see on TV, you know, blankety blank cares about your retirement plan. Okay. You know, let's say they're convicted of malfeasance. Okay. Maybe they swindled some investors or whatever they did. Okay. Well, if they swindled some investors and it was illegal, then whoever did that should go to jail. You know, they should basically go to jail. You know, like in the housing crisis. Yeah, in the housing crisis is really kind of my pet peeve. There's a lot of people that got away with all sorts of stuff. And I always get mean letters when I state all this. You know, the banks, because though the banks took advantage of people. Okay. Banks, corporations. Okay, banks are highly regulated. Okay, they're regulated part and partial by the Federal Reserve. Now, if the banks got away with crookery during the mortgage crisis, then blame the Federal Reserve. Okay, because if the banks obeyed the law and got away with things, then the law should be changed. If the banks broke the law, then we should blame the banks, blame the people, put the people in jail that did it, and also go after regulating bodies, the feds and whoever else regulates the banks, and say, you didn't enforce this. Why didn't you enforce this? We have a call coming in, so we have a couple calls here, but I've been talking, so let's take a look. Good afternoon. Turn your radio down. We're on a delay, and you're on with Money Matters. Who am I speaking to?
How's it going?
Good. What's your name?
Brian Johnson in Auburn.
Oh, you don't have to give us your last name, but okay. There's probably a lot of Johnsons anyway. Oh, okay, Brian. Yeah, shoot,
hey,
what's
okay,
on your mind?
I love your show. Listen, Money Man, I like your show. Mm-hmm. You seem to come off quite negative most of the time, but it's so filled with information that I would never dare turn it off.
Well, thank you. I don't mean to be negative.
But... Nope, but that's not what I called for.
Okay.
I called this to make a remark about the fines. When those corporation heads get in trouble for doing something, uh-huh. They do get a fine. And like the owner of Chase or City, whatever his name is, you'll remember his name, he paid like $13 billion in fines in Europe just a year ago, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so like instead of going to jail, he just paid $13 billion here and $9 billion there. And so what do we do there?
Well, I agree. And you know, a lot of times I was mentioning, I got off track. A lot of times these companies are fined. Let's say a bigger brokerage firm, investment firm, which was my example that I used before I kind of got off track. You know, and they fine them like $500 million or $50 million. Yeah. So what? They're like...
Well, they learned their lesson, though.
Unless the fine's not big enough, they'll say, you know what? We made more money on what we did than the fine.
Correct.
You know, correct. And I agree. No, I don't. I agree if somebody made foul reasons. The heck with the fine. Put some of these guys in the hooskow for 10 years.
Even a year, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, when they
just
put these guys... When they put these guys in jail for a year, they put them at the Hilton.
Yeah. Well, listen, I want to mention one other thing that about that tax, the new tax law. And I'm a small corporation. I'm a pass-through. Mm-hmm. I'm a California S corporation. And that new tax law, you know, didn't really affect me personally, but it sure affected my corporation because it says before you, if you're a pass-through corporation, before you begin your deductions, we want you to remove 20% of your gross receipts. Then start your deductions. It's like height. Oh, yes. You know what? Did you know what I'm talking about?
Not specifically, but go ahead. Keep going.
Well, in the new tax law, a whole bunch of monies were given back to wealthy people. And one of the codes said, look, if you're a pass-through corporation, we want you to deduct 20% of your gross receipts before you begin your tax deductions. So basically hide a bunch of money, 20% of your money, and then start your tax deductions and do something else with that money.
Right.
So
okay.
I just verified it with my accountant, and he verified that, yeah, we're going to reduce 20% of your gross receipts.
Did you like that or not like that?
Well, what do you think?
Well, if you were really, really dyed in the heart, you know, if you're a businessman, you like it, obviously, right?
I love it. Okay. I love it. Okay. I didn't ask for it, but I sure enjoy it. I'm going to reap it.
Now, there's some people that would say that, you know, they don't have a corporation of your size and that you got an unfair tax break. You got a tax break for the rich. Are you rich?
No, I'm a small. I just happened to, when I in 2001, incorporate, I happened to choose the correct attorney who said, let's do a California S corporation and it'll be a pass through. And I said, I'm down with that. And so, I've been too legit to quit for I don't know how many years.
Okay. 26. There you go. Let me ask you something.
I'm not rich. So I'm not rich. I just happen to be a pass through corporation. Okay. Like most of the big ones.
Well, the S's, yeah. We're not allowed to give tax advice here, but SQ corporations, that passes through personal income for sure. Okay. Do you employ people?
I do.
Do you not employ more because of the taxes that you'll pay, or does that not have a bearing?
It doesn't have a bearing because it does not have a bearing because I'm in a construction industry. So we're how hot and heavy.
Right.
It's just booming. So.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that for you. Anything else, Brian?
The opposite of what you just said. Like if I could get more qualified employees, I would do that. But I can't get more qualified employees. I'm at the limit. I mean, they're nowhere to be found.
Now, why is that if everybody's looking for work? Are you requiring a doctorate or an MBA or a college degree, or are you just looking for somebody that wants to get up in the morning?
Looking for somebody who wants to get up in the morning and be held accountable and take a little pride in your work and just do what I ask you, the way I ask you to do it, and then let me pay you.
Okay, and so you don't have to answer this. What are you paying per hour?
It's roughly, I mean, on the average, 20 to 30 an hour.
Okay. 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 That's good. All right. So that's a good example. I mean, well, I've heard similar complaints or concerns from other business owners. They can't find people that want to get up in the morning and work. And, mm-hmm. and when I covered this fast food joint offering $11.25 an hour, they say it wasn't a living wage. I don't know if $20 or $30 a living wage. I really don't even know what a living wage is. You know, it's so subjective, but okay, Brian, that was a great call. I want to thank you for calling in.
All right, and keep sharing the news.
You got it, brother. Thank you. Hi, you're live on the air on Money Matters. You have a 3-second delay, so make sure your radio's off. What's your first name?
Ward.
Hey, Ward. Talk to us.
Hey, my question is to you. Maybe I would hope that you could do a show that maybe the common man could understand. When I say the common man, people living in Nevada County, a lot of us aren't anywhere near this. We can't play in this field. Mm-hmm. We can't even afford to buy food. And the only people moving into California are rich folks. Mm-hmm. I've lost a lot of my friends locally there. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice that if you could help people try to manage what little bit they have versus people that have so much they're having a problem managing it. Because when you have a lot, mm-hmm. you can afford to have people help you manage it. When right. you don't have anything or very little, you can't have anyone help you manage it. That's
okay.
my comment.
Yeah, I have a comment and a question, okay? Here's yeah. a comment and a question. Here's a comment. The comment is a lot of this show is called Investing in Community, where we cover nonprofits and other things to, you know, that have nothing to do with stocks and everything. So that's the comment. I do veer off a lot, not just on investing. But second of all, when you say comment, give me some, real quick, because I'm running out of time, give me some areas that you'd like covered that I can understand, that I can put together a show like that.
I don't know, like Social Security for myself, for example. I'm a disabled veteran. I live on very, very small amount of money. And it seems like everything is going up, including our water rates. And the people that are being affected are the poor people. The rich people, they can afford to buy water. Mm-hmm. But the poor people can't afford to live without water.
Okay, good. You know, I'll schedule that for the next show. It might be a little off topic because I'm going to cover why that is, but I'm going to let you go because I got like 2 minutes and I got to go. Thanks a lot for the phone call, Ward. Okay, so there you go. So our corporation's people, got a couple of calls. The people, I had a couple of calls that I could not take because I was rambling, but I do want to thank you for listening to your community radio station. Remember, discussions in this newscast should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions, and do your own research before investing. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested in due directly past performance and no guarantee of future results. The views expressed today are my opinions only and the opinions of those that called in. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff members, or underwriters. My name is Mark Cunaberti. I want to thank you for listening to the show. Stay tuned for more fine programming from your community radio station.
Yeah.